That's better. You know, that wasn't reality, was it? And we're going to see a bunch of people dress up this week. Some of them like dragons and vampires and all kinds of goofy stuff. But can I tell you something? That's really not reality. I'm not Donald Trump and you're not a vampire. But I want to share something with you. And then we got some great drawings I'll do in about 15 minutes. I really want to talk about real reality. You know what real reality is? There's a great heaven that we can go to. And there's a hell we shouldn't go to. Somebody say amen. I want you to do me a favor for the next 15 minutes. Everyone in this room, I want you to do this for me. This is your job, the next 15 minutes. This is all I want you to do. I want you to picture some person who is not saved. Maybe your brother, or maybe your sister, or your mom, your dad, your cousin. And you know if that person dies, they're going to go to hell. And if you're not saved, I want you to picture yourself. And I want to say this, if what I preach tonight is true, and you receive the message tonight, it will radically, dynamically, and permanently change your life.
Amen. Most definitely.
Look at Luke 16 if you have your Bibles tonight. Follow me. Luke chapter number 16. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Look at verse number 19. There was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now this man was clothed in purple. By the way they got that purple robe, there was a shell that was in the sea that they crushed it, and it was a shell that produced a purple oil, and they put it on the fabric, and they had a purple robe from it. It was rare, it was expensive, it was fine linen, it was wonderful. The Bible said about him also that he fared sumptuously, he ate well. He wasn't like some of us that had to go to McDonald's or someplace like that. I believe he was a Ruth Chris guy or some fancy restaurant. Then verse number 20 introduced us to someone else. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores. Now this, by the way, a lot of people have tried to explain away Luke 16 that it's a parable or some story, but it wasn't real life. But no parable ever used a real person. And there was a real Lazarus, a real person, a real beggar that died, and they laid him, they had to transport him every day by the gate. He wasn't able to walk. The Bible said he was full of sores. He had no antibiotics. He was designing crumbs. He was systematically starving. And all he could do is look for the leftovers. And then the Bible said in verse 21 that the dogs licked his sores. And by the way, these were not pets. These were dogs that were out there to try to get the crumbs also. And they were licking his sores. Can you see the grossness of that? Well, here's what I want to preach on tonight. All this Halloween stuff is not really real. But I do want to preach on this subject for about 5 or 10 more minutes. The reality of hell. If you leave this room today without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and you never get saved, you will find out that there is a real hell, and you'll end up in that real place. And I want you to know, this church by the road here wants to try to keep everybody we can out of hell. By the way, you may not realize this story really talks about two beggars. One beggar begged for a lifetime. And one beggar begged for eternity. And he is still begging. Let me say three things and we'll leave. Or I'll do the drawing. Number one, I want everyone to hear this carefully. Hell's a real place. Is this a real pulpit? Somebody help me. Is it? Is that real? Is this building real? Is Taze Valley real? Hey, by the way, you go look at the map. There's a Taze Valley, West Virginia. It's a real place. Can I tell you, if you die without Christ, there's a real hell, and you don't want to go there.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
Listen, secondly, it's not only a real place, it has real pain.
Yes.
Verse 20, the Bible said in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I don't know if any of you have ever been to a burn unit. How many's ever been to a burn unit? I've been to a burn unit because of being a pastor. I was in Cincinnati, went to the burn room, a unit in Cincinnati. There's a young child that got 60% of their body was burnt in this area. And somebody, I didn't even know the family. They asked me to go. I went to Cincinnati years ago and went. I never forget when I drove up and I went into the place. Before I got to his room, I heard him screaming and yelling. And when I got in there, and he was so out of his head, he couldn't receive the gospel. I was told a few days later he died. I'm not sure he's in heaven or hell. I have no clue. A friend of mine experienced this. He was going down the road with a couple of his buddies, and there was a car wreck, and the car got in flames, and he told me the story, a preacher friend of mine, he told the story how that him and his buddy was over there at the door trying to pry the door open because two guys were literally burning up, and they tried to get him out of there, and they did it without success. Could you imagine being in a place of flame forever and ever and ever? Can I tell you something? That's what hell's going to be like. Let me ask you this question, and don't play with me. There's nobody in this room will take your hand and put it in the fire for any length of time if you've got any brain at all. But I want to ask you a question. Why would there be a bunch of people live on this earth and reject Jesus Christ and voluntarily go to a place of fire forever and ever? Somebody help me. By the way, it's a place of real pain. Number three, it's a place of religious people. Hey, by the way, I believe this guy was religious. You know why I know he was religious? Because he said, Father Abraham. He was familiar with Abraham. He was familiar with the scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, you can know about God and you can know about the things of God, but if you don't know God in your heart and you've never been saved, you're going to hell without hope.
Amen, preacher.
Let me give you a second thing. I'm almost finished. I want to talk about verse 25, the reminders in hell. Look what the Bible said. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Number one, I want you to notice he was reminded of earthly sin. I don't want to be too harsh, but if you die and go to hell, you're going there because you deserve to be there. You've never had a payment for your sin. You've never trust God. You have sin in your life that's unpaid for. Somebody help me. Number two, let me remind you, not only about your earthly sin, but about every evangelistic situation you ever been. Probably everybody in this room at one time or another has been under the sound of preaching, or you've got a gospel track. And by the way, you're here today, so somebody's invited you to church today. And I want you to know something. You don't want to pass up an evangelistic situation and reject Jesus Christ, because I want you to know this may be the last one you go to. You may walk out this door, never hear the gospel again, and die and go to hell. But I want you to know this service will be etched in your mind. The reality of hell will be etched in your mind. The fire burning will be etched in your mind. Everything that went on in this service will be etched in your mind. The reality of perishing without God will be etched in your mind. And you'll remember me preaching this message.
Bless you, preacher. Amen.
Then verse 26, he said, beside this, there's a great gulf fixed. In other words, he said, there's going to be an eternal separation. Can I say this, and I'm almost closing. If you die and go to hell, you'll be separated from church. You'll be separated from your saved mama, your saved daddy, your saved brother, your saved sister. You'll be separated and burning forever in a devil's hell. Somebody help me right there. You'll be eternally separated from God. And if I finished this sermon, Joe, and I walked out this door, everybody in this room would leave here without any hope. But I want to give you the last thing, and I want everybody to tune in. I want to show you the remedy for the place called hell. How many of you know you're not going there? Raise your hand if you're saved. Raise them up, wave at me. Say, I know I'm not going there because I've received the remedy. Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torments. Abraham saith unto him, notice number one, the remedy. They have Moses and the prophets. You know what he told them? They have the Bible. They have the Word of God. I want to tell some of you today, tonight is the best shot you got. This is the best shot you had in the long run in going to heaven. This is the best shot you got because you know why? You are hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and you are getting revealed to you the only hope and the only way to go to heaven. Amen. Your only shot. You said, oh, I'll have a shot later. Do you really know that? Number two. The seriousness of your decision. How many believe it's serious? Oh, everything rides on it. I'm going to give an invitation in a moment, and everything in your life is going to ride on this invitation. It's serious. Hey, heaven, hell, serious. Amen. Playing all these games, doing all that's not really serious.
Amen.
But whether you go to heaven or hell, that's serious. Amen. But I'm going to give you a last thing. And this is not for the sinner. This is for you, Christian. I see also the soul winners. You know what he said? Send Lazarus. They can go to my family. You know, there's people in this room that raised your hand that said you're saved and you got a loved one going to hell. And have you witnessed to them lately? Have you told them that they don't need to go there? Have you gave them a gospel tract? Have you told them how much you love them and how much you care? Ladies and gentlemen, Church of the Living God, we need to get busy and try to get people saved.
Amen. Amen, amen, preacher. Praise God.
May I ask you something? I'm done. I kept my word. Heavy head bowed and every eye closed. And no one looking around, no one moving. I want some people to be honest. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, if I die today, I don't know I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved. I won't lie to you, preacher. I'm probably going to hell if I die today. If that's you, will you be honest enough to raise your hand and say, pray for me. I really don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven before I die. Would you raise your hand? I see that hand, sir. somebody else. Just sip it up and say, I see that hand. Somebody else. I see that hand back there. Somebody else. I'll preacher Smith, I'm getting serious now. I really don't want to die and go to hell. I'm going there if I don't get saved. Pray for me. Anybody else? I want you to do me a favor. Every one of you that just raised your hand, will you look at me? Look at me. Sir, would you like to be saved? Come on. Come on. Come on. Back there that raised your hand. Just back there that raised your hand. Look at me. You want to be saved? Come on. Sit by your seat back there. Come on. We've already got somebody coming getting saved. Come on, you come on. Come on, come on. That's right, come on. Sit back. That's right. You want to be saved? I need a lady to help me. Come on, Tina. This girl wants to be saved. Some of the other folks, there's two or three others of you. Come on, look at me. Do you want to really be go to heaven when you die? Come on. Come on. Come on. Are you taking it seriously? It's a real place with real pain, real hopelessness. There's others of you. Raise your hand. Look up at me. You want to be saved today? Let's stand right now. Everybody in this room that's not a Christian, will you come up around here? Let's take a Bible and show you how to be saved.
Just have
folks are getting saved. We want you saved. Come on. If you're not a Christian, come on up here right now.
One plea.
Yes.
But that thy blood.
Yes. Christian here has somebody you know is going to hell, just like come and pray for him. You got to just come out and pray for him. Yes.
Read my soul.
Yeah, man. This young lady to us.
Okay, this is Carmen Collins, and she just asked Jesus to be her Savior.
Carmen? Is it Carmen? Carmen. You know you just got saved? Somebody give the Lord a hand. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Miss Carmen. Y'all go ahead and be seated. We're still dealing here at the altar, and then we're going to have a drawing just a moment. So be seated. Be patient. Because, by the way, drawings are great. But ain't nothing like the gift of salvation. Ain't nothing like what karma just done. That's trusting Jesus. Amen. How many glad you're saved? Yes. 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 Amen. Chandler's young man come back to God.
Yes, sir.
Sir, did you get it right with God tonight? Amen. Amen. That's good. Give the Lord a hand.